And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, the pacifist Lerman must decide whether to lie down to the oppressive separatists or fight with the Jedi when a new super weapon comes to town. There will be clones in peril, George Takei and the Great Lerman Uprising. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
It is George Takei, right?
It is George Takei.
Okay.
Oh, you mean it was it actually George Takei or that's
no,
how you
no, some people
it.
Say George Takei.
Oh. I've always used Takei and thought that was appropriate.
Me too. George Takei, who was really awesome in this episode.
And if George Takei is listening and it's Takei, send us a
We love you.
Correct it.
We love you, George. I met him once. He's really sweet. I met him at Dragon Con.
I know.
So, we're going to start this episode a little bit differently because, as always, if you leave us a review on iTunes, we'll read it on the show. And, of course, you know, we got this, like, this week, and you won't hear this for, like, 3 months. But still, it's here. So, do you want to read it or me?
Oh, I'll read it.
Hey, okay.
I never get to read nothing.
I can't pronounce this last name. Have
Pascarella.
Fun.
David Pascarella. Jay guys, and now is this a review on iTunes?
Yes, this was a review on iTunes.
Okay. and God, we love the reviews on iTunes. It helps make our podcast more visible. So the more people that review us, even if they say that we suck. And so far, knock wood.
All 5 stars.
Nobody said we sucked. So.
And they make us feel good. And we like having good, high self-esteem.
Okay, so David Pascarella says, J-Guys and Jedi is a great new podcast and one that I actively look forward to.
So, yay!
I'm glad that he's not passively looking forward to it, but...
Oh god, another episode of J-Guys and Jedi.
The show discusses each episode of Star Wars and Clone Wars in chronological order in such a way that whether or not you have seen the episode, it is an enjoyable trip into the Star Wars universe. Hope loves the series and her infection is completely contagious. Hope loves the series and her affection and enthusiasm for the material is completely contagious. If you're in a bad mood, listen to Hope and her enthusiasm and positive attitude will cheer you right up.
Hey. Thank you, David.
Her partner, Chris, is always compelling listening. He has the ability to discuss any topic in an intelligent and insightful manner. Chris can discuss anything from Star Trek to Star Wars, from politics to conspiracy theories, and almost any other topic, and it is always great listening. Together, Hope and Chris are a winning combination that takes you on a fun trip to a galaxy far, far away.
Thank you, David.
I get the impression that Star Trek, Star Wars, politics, and conspiracy theories are the favorite things that people like to hear me talk about. So,
yeah.
Probably not going to hear much politics. Well, you'll hear some politics in Clone Wars, but it's mostly.
Kind of
pardon me.
When I tell people about you, that's kind of how I describe you.
Oh, there'll be politics in Clone Wars, but it'll mostly be
later seasons, they get very political.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of, within the context of Clone Wars, politics happening, so.
And kind of like a mini review. My friend Anjali listens to the show, and where we're recording right now, we just released Destroy Malevolence, and she said she cracked up and died laughing at the Homeward Bound reference that I made.
Oh,
Shadow.
I, and you know, we're way past this by the time you listen to this, but I had finished, I edited episode 6, the one after that, last week.
Oh, I'm kind of scared to listen when you when we released Rookies on Wednesday, because I know I'm just going to be freaking out. How fangirly am I, Chris?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's just as bad as you remember, I'm sure.
Yay!
Yes, there's some squealing going on.
Yay!
It's the one where Rex shoots the giant worm, you know, it gets crazy.
I'll wait till next week when we get a Trespass. Next week in Trespass has two of my absolute favorite Captain Rex moments in it.
I got one of my favorite moments in episode 6 where I finally got to land a D's Nuts joke.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
One of the high points of my career, unfortunately.
So, on to Defenders. Thank you again, David, by the way.
Yes.
All right, so, Defenders of the Peace.
I'm ready.
All right, so Lermans. Defender of the Peace was the 14th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on January 29th, 2009. That date might be wrong, because I think next episode is the 30th. Maybe they did a two-parter.
They might have done that, yeah.
Yeah, like
it was a little
two-day.
Weird when it was happening brand new.
Oh yeah, I remember that because I was in college, so I would turn it on and be like, where is it? It was written by Bill Canterbury, sorry, and directed by Stuart Lee. This is also the only appearance of George Takei in the series, as he voices Lock Durd. With his role on The Clone Wars, Takei became the first Star Trek series regular to perform in a Star Wars production. It is also the first appearance of the Recon droids in the series. And, as always, we start every episode with the moral of the episode in a terrible, sexy, maybe a little bit Randy Yoda voice.
When surrounded by war, one must eventually choose a side in bed.
Sometimes you have to choose the side by the wall, you know?
You know, sometimes you're just like in an orgy and you just gotta pick a dick.
Is that how it goes?
Yes, yeah, sometimes you only got so many openings. Sometimes you just gotta pick a dick.
You have to make the dick pick.
Dick pick. Oh my god, we are the classiest Star Wars podcasters ever. I was looking at my notes last week and I was like, I'm so classy, because I have this like really long like note about like how Chuchi is like the strong female character and she's great, and right under it says Chairman Chicho is a bag of dicks.
Well, I was just thinking choose a dick. What if you didn't want to choose a dick? I guess you'd have, or you pick a dick, you'd have to choose a coos. Which
or
is even grosser sounding.
Tag a badge.
Oh, what a badge?
You could tag a badge.
Tag a badge. Oh, jeez. That sounds like laser tag or something like that. Or it sounds like hunt and release, where you shoot her with a tranquilizer gun, tag the badge, and let her go.
Or you could flip a tip. Anyway,
On to Star Wars. We shouldn't have brought up Rookies. That's all I gotta say.
Oh man, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear that episode again. Because it's been, what, like a month and a half since we recorded it?
Something like that, yeah.
So I don't remember anything I said, but I'm pretty sure I probably screamed a lot. So, Act 1 of Defenders of the Peace. Following the events of the previous episode, Anakin is still recovering from his injuries in the Lerman village. With him are Jedi General Aayla Secura, Ahsoka Tano, Captain Rex, and Commander Bly. The Lerman leader is Tiwat Ka and his son Wag Tu. The Lerman village is peaceful. That is until Captain Rex spots a separatist ship heading their way. Wag Tu argues that their planet is neutral space, but Anakin knows a battle is coming. Tiwat Ka wants them to leave since the droid army doesn't know that they're there. Ahsoka is aghast that the Lerman would rather die than go against their pacifist ways, but Anakin doesn't want to force the Lerman into war. Lock Durd, aka George Takei, the separatist leader that meets with Tiwat Ka as our heroes sneak out of the village. Lock Durd leads his men to the Lerman village, claiming the colony for the separatists. The separatist They ransack the village and the heroes watch helplessly. They know if they step in to stop the droids, the Lurmans would be slaughtered. After the droids leave, Wag 2 confronts his father for giving in to Lok Durd. Tiwat Ka doesn't want to give up their way of life, but his son wants to stand up to the oppression. Wag 2 has one of his men track the Jedi to make sure that they make it off-world.
From now on, I'm calling, just to make it easier, I'm calling Wag 2 Herman.
Herman?
Herman the Lurman.
Herman the Lurman, aww.
The other one's Happy Lurman.
Happy Lurman.
Happy Lurman and Herman the Lurman.
Herman the Lurman and Pappy Lurms.
Ooh, Pappy Lurms, I like that.
Happy Lurms. So, how do you feel about this?
It pushes my Star Wars button by starting off right away with somebody looking through binoculars. I love that. I'm sitting there and I'm watching the story unfold. Just as Durd is coming off in his first few lines, I'm not paying attention to his voice, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, this story reminds me a lot of a Star Trek Prime Directive story where they run in. There's a couple of them where they run into pacifists. You know, one of them's a story where they first meet the Organians. And, you know, and it's a Prime Directive decision of, like, you know, do we save these people from their pacifist ways or do we let them, you know, stay true to their blah, blah, blah. Just as I'm thinking that, one of the lines that Takai said was just so Takai sounding that I go, oh, yeah, that's right. It's George Takai. And I'm like, I wonder if they consciously, like, put him in this story because it was a very Star Trek-y kind of story. It almost reminds me of the Organians, except the Lurmans don't have super godlike powers. They're true pacifists that would get wiped out if somebody went to wipe them out. But I just thought it was really funny that as I was thinking, man, this is very Star Trek-y, all of a sudden there's a Star Trek voice on it. And yeah, I guess this is the only place where the streams have crossed, isn't it?
I think some like minor actor, like voice actors and stuff like that have been on, but like this is like the main cast. I would have to actually look into that. I didn't even need to look into that.
I'm wondering if anybody from Star Wars ever ended up in like any of the Star Trek TV shows. I know nobody major did, but you know.
Does Simon Pegg count?
I guess.
Because Simon Pegg was in the J.J. Abrams movie and Force Awakens.
You know what? You're right.
So I don't know if he counts.
I don't see why he wouldn't. It's an official Star Wars movie and an official Star Trek movie for whatever it's worth.
Yeah.
But yeah, space pacifist stories frustrate me.
Oh, I know. You were talking about it last week.
And especially these guys, because you don't have any do they have? Is it? He talks about it as their philosophy, but I'm like, yeah, you don't have a species, you know, I would think it would have to be like a religion, you know, more to, you know, this is our religion. This is how we do it in order to get people to do that. But you have no mention of that and vague, oh, this is our way. These are our ways, you know. They could have thrown in like the name of some prophet or some you know, something to refer to.
I think at one time Pappy Lurm said something like we've been led this. I can't remember if he said like if there was something, but all I know is said that this is our way of life for hundreds of years, and this has been.
Yeah, I wish they would have put a name to it, I guess is what I'm saying, you know. It's due to our fill in the blank ways that we must do this, and it would just seem more as it is. You're just
trying to figure out how they got to that colony, because that's not their original planet.
Well, I got the idea that they were fleeing war, you know, and
but how did they get there? Did they just hitch a ride on a ship and someone dumped them on the planet?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, no, I mean, I would imagine whatever the, you know, space equivalent of a tramp freighter would be or something, you know, the whole clan bought out the hold of a ship or something and moved all their stuff over there or something.
I swear to God, you're about to say the equivalent of a tramp.
Nope. Tramp steamer. Which is an old term. I mean, I don't think we have tramp steamers anymore. I'll bet you we do. Like, I'll bet you there's a few tramp steamers puttering around like Singapore or something like that.
I'm guessing it's a truck.
Nope. Boat.
Okay.
It's a big old, you know, a smuggler would use one. Like, you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? You know, towards the end when they get picked up by, what is it, Captain Katanga? And, but just before he jumps onto the submarine, that's a tramp steamer.
Okay.
A scrappy big cargo ship, you know, cargo boat, not a big ship, but, you know, a decent sized one. One that pirates and scoundrels would pilot.
Gotcha.
Not an actual tramp. They rode a tramp over to to their planet.
And we continue being the classiest Star Wars podcast around.
Ooh, I have to start promoting us as such.
Well, like a bit, like our face is just covering someone's tits.
I don't know, you know, I mean, when this comes out, it, you know, I don't know how politics will go, but if by any chance Donald Trump becomes president, we might want to start using classy and everything just to, you know, stay safe. So yeah. We'll be the classiest.
Yeah, just so we could date this episode, Super Tuesday's tomorrow, so good luck, America.
This is the classiest, most excellent podcast you'll ever hear.
Yeah.
You gotta believe me. You can believe that.
We can make Star Wars podcast great again!
It's huge. Huge! That's the weird thing. I'm thinking huge might be the why Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump are so big, because they both use the word huge.
Huge?
Huge! It's huge!
When I was listening to the radio today while driving around on errands, they kept saying orals instead of oil. Gotta get me some fancy orals.
Yep.
Orals. All right, so what I think about the Letterman, I like the scenes, like the opening scene where the clones are interacting with the Letterman and stuff like that, because I don't think there's a lot of scenes where we just see the clones interacting with normal people that aren't Jedi.
Just having downtime, yeah.
Yeah, I think I said this like a few episodes ago too, like we don't get to see the clones a lot having downtime, and like just Bly helping the little Lerman with his fruit basket, and he has a nice like grateful smile and he like accepts the fruit, like that was really nice. Like,
hopefully the fruit isn't deadly poison, that's what I always think, you know, hey, I'll just take a bite right out of this.
And the Lerman are like, no, and that's how Commander Bly died.
Yeah, or that's the fruit they use like when they're constipated or something.
Because she lost her boyfriend.
Who? What? Now what?
I said, and then Ayla cried because she lost her boyfriend. Remember last episode how I said I ship Ayla and Bly together?
Yes.
And I love their fan art and their fanfics. Get it, girl! I can also, like, see where the annoyance of the Lerman comes from because of their pacifist ways. Like, it's hard to swallow when Tuat Ka, or Pappy Lerman, says that he would rather die than not fight. And this is, like, so much different from Satine in Season 2 and on. Because, like, we see with Satine in Season 2 that, like, she's a pacifist, but she knows that she needs guards, and she knows how to defend herself. Like, she's a pacifist, but she will fight if it's absolutely necessary. And she doesn't try to force her ways on other people, which is nice because, like, you'll see Obi-Wan be like, you know, Obi-Wan will protect her because she doesn't want to make Obi-Wan be a pacifist. Does that make sense?
Right.
Even though, like, that's her belief, so I know, I can see where the Lerman hatred lies.
It's not hatred. It's just, I think what it is a frustration because their philosophy seems stupid. If you don't know, if you don't have more about it, you know?
Your philosophy is stupid poopy heads.
It is. It's dumb. Their philosophy is stupid, and they're dumb. They're terrible people. Terrible. But,
Hey, Trump.
if they just colored it in a little bit and said, ah, well, you know, we had this ancestor who, you know, very much like the Vulcans. The Vulcans are nonviolent, but, you know, their reliance on logic was due to early in their development. They were very violent and they decided to do that, and that's why they stuck to it. And there's a reason for it. There's a story behind it. And with the Lermans, it just sits there. They're pacifist because Pappy Lerman says so, and there's no why about it. So when he sits there and is just stubbornly like insisting that they be allowed to die, you it's hard to have any sympathy for him at all, you know. As a matter of fact, it's very frustrating to listen to him, you know.
From a narrative point of view, though, writing-wise, are we supposed to have sympathy for him, or do we want to,
cheer
on Webb, too?
I think it would be a better story if we had more understanding of why they wanted to be like that, so that we could feel that there was a stake in them maintaining that, rather than him just saying, this is how we've always done it, this is how we do it, you know, or... It's just sort of, you want to know why, and you don't have to have the whole history. You just need a couple little things to grab onto to go like, okay, they have a good reason to be like this.
Yeah.
You know, and Pappy Lerman isn't like, he's sort of portrayed as the stubborn, old, implacable leader, you know, old ways sort of guy, but he's not really. He's sort of a decent guy. He's not just like a, you know,
I mean, he could have let Anakin just die.
Right. So he's generally, he's a little grumpy because he's old, maybe. But I would have thought his character... let's just say that. Well, I'll get, there's a part in the second part that would... I'll just wait till the next part, because there's a part in there where it fits better with the story that happens.
So I will say Pappy Lerman has the best neck beard.
Yeah, jeez.
The only other note I had from this section is I just think George Takei is amazing in his role the whole episode through.
Yeah, and it's really funny to see George Takei's voice coming out of a big portly character, you know.
I know, he's such a little guy.
You would expect him to be out of a skinny lizard-like creature, and no, he's more like a big fat frog creature. That was great. And he just basically does it. He's basically just doing his own voice, but just... He definitely exaggerates.
There's a little bit more of like a buttery slur to it. Not really a slur, a buttery kind of suave, like, ooh, I'm rich.
Well, he's like exaggerating he's sort of got that to him anyway, you know, he's got that sort of talking like this, but he just played it up and, you know, exaggerated it for vocals, and it was great. It was weird. The first couple lines, I didn't even think about it. And then it was just like, it was just one word. And I was like, oh, that's right. George Takei, I hope, said he was coming up in this.
So, did you have anything else for Act 1?
Nope, that's about all I got.
All right, so, Act 2. Ahsoka and Rex are confused why the Lerman won't stand and fight, but Aayla schools the Padawan, saying sometimes it's braver not to fight. Anakin brings them back to the problem at hand. They need a ship to get back to the Republic, but the only people with a ship are the Separatists. As they're planning, they spot a recon droid in the high grass watching them. They chase it down, and Aayla splits it down the middle. They climb a giant nearby tree, spotting the Separatist base in the distance. It also has the only ship to get off the planet. They watch as the enemies are loading up a new weapon. Rex and Bly scout ahead to get a better look at it. Locke Dird has designed a missile that will destroy organic matter but leave the droids unharmed. They test the weapon, but Rex and Bly are right in the crossfire. They sprint as a wall of fire races at them. Rex makes it to the tree, but Bly misses the branch with his tether. Aayla swings down to save her boyfriend, her commander, and take him to safety. The missile has successfully destroyed every living thing. Locke Dird has plans to test the weapon on our Lerman. Anakin decides that they will steal the ship first and then go help the Lerman. Ahsoka argues that Tuwa Ka didn't want help. He replies that there's a difference between pulling innocent people into war and leaving them for extinction. That night, our heroes sneak onto the base and steal the ship, as well as some shield generators. Wag 2 tries to rally his people to fight the Separatists, but Tuwa Ka refuses to even defend themselves. So I love how Rex is like, what? We're going to steal from the Separatists? Yeah, let's break some rules!
Yes, finally we get to do our job.
I know, because the whole time they've just been running and then fighting like those like dinosaur bird creatures last time. He's like, yes, I finally get to shoot a thing. Yeah, yep. Separatists.
Here's something we know how to do.
I kind of want to clone like clone cooking show or Martha Stewart or clones where they're just trying to do things that they're not trained to do, and they're just like, brrr. Today, we're going to do some needlework. I'm working on a blaster. make sure you get those straight lines and make sure they're all going in the right direction. You don't want to make sure that you'll need to work sideways.
He's the Rosie Greer of clones, basically.
I'm Rex, and this is Needlepoint with Rex.
Yeah, that was Rosie Greer back in the 70s. He was a football, big, hefty black guy, football player. And he used to go on, like, Captain Kangaroo and Sesame Street and be like, I like to do Needlepoint.
I would watch the crap out of a Captain Rex cooking show.
Cooking show or hooking show?
Both.
Oh, okay. And by hooking, I meant like latch hook, you know, type.
Oh, I thought you meant like hooking up with me. Okay. Oh,
okay. Well, you know, either. Oh, you could go that way too.
Either or.
It's so there's three shows you could watch.
So what did you think about Act Two? Continue your point because you said your point was an Act Two.
Oh yeah. As pacifists, okay, you're a pacifist. You don't want to fight. You don't want to kill. You don't want to, you know, I guess they don't even want to resist, right? Why not just head for the hills? Get the hell out of the village, and they burn down the village, which is terrible, but at least, you know, your whole tribe and all the children don't get killed for just, you know, and you don't have to put any, you know, why wouldn't it be pacifist for them to leave? They're just like, no, we're just going to sit here and let you know. That's why you don't know enough about their philosophy. Is that part of their philosophy? Is you must never, like, you must just go about your daily routine. And if anything violent happens, you don't deviate from that because, you know, I mean,
really look, there's a guy being murdered.
But who knows? You know, we don't know. So it almost becomes just a plot point. It doesn't feel like a real thing that the Lermans have. It feels like it's just a thing to make me hate them, you know, to put some conflict in the story, because otherwise, why not just roll 20 miles off and you know, let them nuke your village.
Maybe it's because this is just me playing devil's advocate, but what's stopping the Separatists from following them?
Well, they could, but you could just keep moving on or whatever. The Separatists want to test their weapons, so eventually they're just going to wait till they find a, you know, whole bunch of the, you know, the lizard creatures that live, you know, in zap them. I don't know.
That's true.
You know, they could, there's other living things there, and maybe the Lerman don't want to, like, would rather have them wiped out than the native fauna of the planet or something. You don't know. That's the thing. There's no, not even the sketchiest explanation of their philosophy, and their philosophy is such a major element of the story. I just would have liked to have known all about it.
Yeah.
And that defoliator bomb, I was saying nuke the village. It's not like a nuke. It was like in the, another thing in the 70s was a neutron bomb. Which, that was what the neutron bomb did. You dropped it over a city and it wiped out all the people and living things, but left all the buildings and everything perfectly intact.
Huh.
Yeah, I wonder whatever happened. That was a big deal. They invented it. And then after a while, you never heard anything about it.
I don't think I've ever heard of a neutron bomb.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Huh. I guess because they never dropped it on anything of importance?
No, I don't think that... No, it was never used in war or battle, but I'm sure it was tested. I was very young when it was happening. I remember it was a big scandal of the ethics of having a bomb like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you'd bomb a city ahead of time. You could come in and just loot everything in the city. All the buildings would be standing. Everything would be just sort of where it was. Just all the people would be dead. And dead, man, Dooku, Dooku's almost getting horny talking about taking out the village. They're like, oh, we're going to take out the village. He's just like, oh, yes, good idea.
I just like the little look where when Locke Dirt is like, my weapon, and Dooku just looks at him, and he's like, I mean, our weapon. We use our weapon. I will say, the first, like, I never noticed it before, but when, like, Lockdart is giving his speech about this new weapon, and all the droids are like, yay! I never noticed the droid behind him, like, raising the roof.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah! I died laughing. I've seen this episode, like, probably, like, 15, 20 plus times. It's one of my favorite episodes, and I just never noticed that droid in the background, and it was great!
Great droid. Yeah, this one had some good droid comedy, too, and the whole, like, you know, we need two volunteers, and everybody steps back and leaves the two doofballs there, and they sort of have to, like, oh, geez, go walk out in the down to ground zero.
Yeah. Though I do remember the first time I watched this episode, and, like, the bomb went off and the clones were, like, nearby and they're running. I just remember just being like, ah, Rex, Rex, run, Rex, run, go, go, yes, no, no, fly is down, Ayla saved him, oh my god. Like, I was freaking out the first time I ever saw this episode. I remember it. Every time I kind of watch it, I have, like, a little, like, like a moment of, like, post-traumatic watching syndrome. Where I'm, like, just, like, every time I'm just, like,
PTWD.
Run, run.
PTWD.
Yeah, that. So, I kind of want to talk for, like, 2 seconds about the scene where they're sneaking into the base. That's just a really cool scene.
Yeah.
I kind of wish there was more of that. Because, to me, that felt, like, tempo-wise, one of the fastest parts of the episode. Well, a lot of other parts of the episode kind of drag.
A little talky, yeah.
Yeah, so I just like how quiet and stealthy they all are. Like, and how they work together. Like, you know, there's the great scene where Anakin pulls the rocks towards them and the droids turn and Bly and Rex just rip the droids' heads off. Like,
There's a nice shot of Anakin just taking out a bunch of droids. I think it's like they sort of look over an overhang, you know, and Anakin's down on the ground. So he's a bit away from him, and he just like runs in a sort of semicircle and takes out a bunch of the droids, and the camera sort of pulls back and then you can't see over the edge anymore. It was a really neat shot. It was neat how Anakin took out the droids, and it was a really neat camera angle.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that in this. They do some really nice, they take advantage of being CG and being able to put the camera in all different places and do things with it.
Yeah.
Without going nuts.
I just thought that was a really cool thing. Except for the only other thing is, like, I understand why Ayla was there last episode, because she was, like, teaching Ahsoka lessons and stuff like that. I kind of felt like Ayla kind of fell to the background in this one.
Yes.
I mean, I do like the moment where, like, they're chasing down the recon droid, and she just, like, calmly walks the other way and just steps out and just cuts it in half, because she always knew where it was. She didn't have to, like, frantically chase it, which in a way shows, like, what a badass she is. But
it reminded me of Force Awakens, didn't it? A little bit, where when Finn was running away from Rey and she cuts him off.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, it's just a very Jedi thing to do, to think they're behind you and then all of a sudden they're just standing there in front of you. Sorry, dude.
Oh, Rey. She was on the Oscars last night.
Yeah, there were.
She was so pretty.
It was. I saw a lot of people complaining that Star Wars didn't win any Oscars, but I didn't see it happening.
I could see where people would be upset, but I do think it's really cool that Mad Max won 6. Like, they won the most Oscars of the night.
Yeah,
for a nerd movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a great, for a genre movie. It's a great day in mainstream cinema.
Yes.
But, in my opinion, like, by a country, like, 400 country miles, best picture, best director, one of the two, or it should have had both. I would have settled for one of the two, preferably best picture. I think that's where, yeah. And as soon as I saw it was getting all these technical ones, I was like, ah, they're not going to give it best picture. They're just going to give it a bunch of other ones to make sure everybody knows that it's an awesome movie, but
I knew it wasn't going to have best picture, but
it's the Oscars. I don't expect things to come out the way they should, you know?
I mean, I know, I firmly believe that the Emmys should have a category for sci-fi and fantasy, because sci-fi and fantasy,
it's a good chunk of TV these days, basically.
And it's also like a completely different beast of its own. Like, there's how you approach a sci-fi fantasy show is completely different than how you would, you know, approach something like, you know, Mad Men or Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a completely different kind of show. And there's plenty of, like, there's so much work that goes into those, and there's plenty of amazing actors. Like, Robert Carlyle kills it week after week after week on Once Upon a Time. Like, he's so good on that show, but he's never going to get an Emmy for it because it's a genre fantasy show. And, like, the only reason Game of Thrones, I think, has only got ones as much as it have is because it's just such a big, well-received show. But where's Walking Dead and all that?
Yeah.
You know, if Walking Dead is, what, like, the best drama on television or something?
Yeah, at times it was.
Yeah, well, like, it's highest-rated drama or something
Yeah, it's ratings-wise, it's, yeah, it's basically, I think, killing everything. Quality-wise, I think it started to, when it came out, it was where it had to be in the, you know, compared to the quality of the comics. In time, it's become a good TV show, but it's a TV show. It's a TV soap opera drama, and it's picked up a few, like, little quirks of its things that it does. You could do a drinking game on people saying, "I get it," you know, before they say something. You know, two people are having an argument and one person will go, "Look, I get it," blah, blah, blah. And it's sort of like the X-Files did that after like four or five seasons. They started getting just a few things that were almost, you know, parodies of themselves. And The Walking Dead isn't a parody of itself, but sometimes it gets a little into its own formula.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is, like, it's
dominating everything.
Yeah, it's one of the highest rated shows. And same, like, the only reason Game of Thrones has done that is because, you know, it was a big old juggernaut, too. Like, I firmly believe that there should be a genre for sci-fi and fantasy shows for Image, because
it used to be sitcoms would have spinoffs. So you'd have the Jeffersons off All in the Family, or, you know, but a whole bunch All in the Family, actually. Maude, I believe, was from All in the Family. Now it's like, where's the spinoff coming from a zombie TV show has a spinoff?
Yeah.
How crazy is that? Just that a zombie TV show's doing good, then it had a spinoff that did really well too. I think that busted up some records too in ratings when it came out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there's just dozens of shows from, you know,
Once Upon a Time had a spinoff, and I will argue that it's the better of the two shows since season 3. Fight me. Oh my god. I love Michael Sacha. I'm actually working, the needle point I'm working on right now as I'm talking to you is a gift for Michael Sacha. Don't tell him.
And Hannibal. There was a horror genre show that did well, and the X-Files is back. So, yeah, I mean, I think eventually the Emmys will have to start acknowledging it, because that's going to be a good amount of the material that they have to work with.
I know. I think, like, we're in a good age of being nerds, because it's finally cool to be nerds.
We're in a golden age of being nerds. I don't know if people ever recognize being in a golden age when you're actually in it, but I think we're in pretty much a golden age of where we're not marginalized like we used to be, and our culture is the dominant culture.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love my brother, but my brother is the biggest redneck that has ever rednecked. And I love him to death, but when he calls me up on the phone and goes, "Hey, Hope, can I talk to you about something?" I was like, "Yeah, go ahead." And he goes, I was watching Thor, and I'm not sure if Loki is actually a villain." We're in a golden age of nerds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love you, Topher.
Yeah. Oh, all my coworkers were talking about, like, "Yeah, I saw that Superman Batman movie's coming out," and they're, you know, they're all just regular moviegoers, cultural consumers. And they were all like, "Well, you know, are Superman and Batman supposed to fight? That just seems sort of weird." And I'm like, "Oh, this is, you know, this is a conversation that never used to happen, you know?"
Yeah.
I was usually listening to them talk about football.
I mean, and then we have, like, and this is a big year too. I mean, like, for example, it's cool to be an adult right now to like Pokemon, because it's celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. So, like, all my adult friends are finally coming out of the woodwork, because I've never stopped loving Pokemon. I love it, and all my nerd friends loved it too. But now a lot of my friends who, like, I didn't think were nerds are like, "Fuck yeah, Pokemon 20! And I was like, "Where were you when I was getting bullied?" So, like, it's so good. So I really hope that the Emmys at least start heading in that direction, because there's so many great shows that don't get recognition, because just fantasy and genre shows they're a completely different beast of their own.
If the Emmys and Oscars don't eventually start acknowledging the stuff they'll go by the wayside, and people will pay attention to something that does acknowledge a more realistic, you know, portrayal of what's out there for entertainment.
Here's a fun game, and then we'll move on. If you had to pick, if they suddenly came up with a fantasy sci-fi genre of the Emmys, what five shows would you put in that category?
Oh, jeez. I'm trying to think how many of them I would watch. I would put Rebels in there right now, for sure.
But or would that have to go into the animated category?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Well, I guess animated just sort of limits you to that. That's also something that might have to change in the future, where the line between animated and you know, real.
Oh, I totally think Inside Out should have been up for Best Picture for the Oscars last night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, jeez, I forgot about that. 2015 was a banner year for movies. There were a lot of good movies last year. So, I mean, yeah, I've forgotten about how Inside Out was one of the best Pixar movies that they've made, period.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that eventually we move in that direction, that where it becomes more mainstream, people don't start distinguishing, going, oh, that's an animated movie, that's a this movie, that's that, you know. I think genre movies should just be considered movies, you know?
Me too.
Fiction.
What, your five shows?
Oh, my five shows?
Yeah.
Jeez. That's a tough one, because I don't want, I'm up on Rebels, I'm up on Walking Dead. I'm trying to think of what else. See,
I would say my choices would be Walking Dead, Once Upon a Time, probably a toss up between Agent Carter and Supergirl. One of those two. And then
Daredevil. I would definitely have Daredevil on there.
Yeah, I haven't seen Daredevil. That's the only reason why I'm not throwing it in there. I know. I haven't had a chance to watch that or Jessica Jones, and I've heard nothing but good things about them.
Yeah, I just had Scott Gardner urging me and Scott McGregor both urging me relentlessly to watch Jessica Jones, and it's on my list.
Probably I would throw in X-Files, even though I've never seen X-Files. I'll throw in Rebels just to be cool like you.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
See, I guess I'd have to throw Walking Dead in, just because I'm watching, but I'd rather be familiar with like Once Upon a Time and some of the other shows to make sure, American Horror Story maybe, and stuff.
Ooh, that's
like
a good choice. I forgot about that.
And stuff like that to figure out if I didn't want to maybe put them ahead of Walking Dead, because I still watch Walking Dead every week and I still enjoy it. And parts I go, wow, that was a really excellent episode, or that was a really excellent scene. But there's something about it that just doesn't have the magic that it used to, the comics had consistently for me. Maybe it's because the comic has been so consistently good.
Mm.
And it's miraculous the TV show's gotten this far, so you got to be happy about that. And to have an hour of zombie fiction every week is pretty out of this world. That's not like comedy or over the top or catchphrase laden. I just love it. Anyway.
I don't have anything else for Act 2. Did you have any other notes?
Nope. I think that's about all I got.
All right.
Ready to finish this puppy up?
Time for the Lerman Uprising.
It shall be forever known as the Lerman Uprising.
The most adorable uprising ever.
The sight of the Ewoks.
The Ewoks from a brother of another mother.
they're rolling Irish Ewoks is what they are.
Rolling Irish Ewoks. I'm choking on my spit. All right.
It's Scottish,
three.
But yeah.
Act 3. Our heroes. Sorry, I'm still laughing at the Ewoks. Our heroes fly back to the Lerman colony. Siwaka is pissed they've returned, but the Jedi won't hear any of it. Against his wishes, they set up a perimeter and crank up the shield generators. Wag 2 apologizes for not being able to help the Jedi, even though he doesn't agree with his father. Lock Durd fires his new weapon, but it strikes the shields protecting the village. Now the droids have no choice but to fight. In an awesome image that could be my computer background, our five heroes draw their weapons to battle. They easily take out the first wave of droids, but the second and third waves breach the shields. Rex and Bly fight to protect the villagers as Ahsoka and Ayla rushes back to help. The droids take out the shield generators, leaving the village open for the new weapon. WAG-2 gathers a group of Lurmen to stand up and help the Jedi. Anakin arrives at the droid tanks and destroys the new weapons before it can fire. He also captures Locke Dird in the process. With the Lurmen, Jedi, and clones working together, they destroy the last of the droids and save the colony. Tuwa Ka thanks the Jedi for saving his people, but he wonders what the cost of getting involved in the war will be. In the final moments, Republic ships arrive to rescue our heroes.
Once again, their philosophy, what we knew of it, now it's just been tossed out the window. And he seems to be pretty,
but it's kind
pretty
of like
okay.
The old generation versus the new one, because like WAG-2 like wanted to fight from the get-go.
Oh yeah. And here's another question I have: are they just against violence or killing? And does it really matter if they're being violent or killing droids? Is it, you know, if you can't do violence against a piece of metal, can they hammer nails? You know what I'm saying? What's the difference? You know, what's the difference between taking out a droid and hammering a nail or you know, smashing a mirror or something? You know what I mean? So,
but what if the nails are sentient?
Maybe they are. They're probably about as sentient as the droids are. But that's the thing is, they're not life forms. So it's like why do the Lurmans have any problem taking them out in the first place? You know?
Yeah.
I don't get it. You know, and does pacifism mean you can't like defend yourself, like build shields or, you know, like literal shields that you would hold to like if someone threw something at it? It's just so vague.
I think it's kind of like what we were talking about last episode, how there's a difference between pacifism and nonviolence.
Yeah. And I like that the Jedi, this definitely isn't a Star Trek episode because the Jedi don't have any prime directive. They're just like, yeah, we're setting up our shields.
Yeah, and I do like that moment where Anakin's like, there's a difference between, you know, leaving these people to die and the Jedi way. Like, as Jedi, they're required to help and protect all life forms no matter what.
Yeah, whether they like it or not, yeah.
So, I have a shallow note and a serious note. My shallow note is I really like the imagery of the fire crawling up the shields.
Yeah.
That's a really cool image.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that, like, that the way the camera just kind of pans and makes it every kind of zooms on and everything just like whoa, it added to the suspense of whether or not the shields would actually hold against this thing.
Yeah, I just the visual I like how in Clone Wars they've been giving everything a strong visual look to it, and like the Lurmen planet is like all, and they usually do it by color. And the mm-hmm. Lurmen planet's all these nice gold and golden brown colors and stuff like that. And then when all of a sudden you start putting the fire and the blue shield generators on top of it, it's just really pretty looking on top of being really cool looking.
Yeah. And then my more serious note is I really love these Lurmen episodes, but this is my issue with this kind of storyline. This is the first time in the series where we see the Jedi encourage these people, like people, to defend themselves against the Separatists. And it's a good storyline because it's the first one. But after that, they do this storyline several times over and over and over. Like, the episode Bounty Hunters is the Lurmen episode with pirates and bounty hunters. And then we get to Onderon, it's the Lurmen episode, but it has, like, politics and Steela and Lux. And, like, they're more complex, but it's essentially the Lurmen episodes. It's Steela and Lux and Lurmen. Like, that's pretty much what it is. And while it's nice that it gets more and more complex, but it's just the same story. So sometimes I wonder how much can you do this story? Because I like the Bounty Hunter episodes because we get to see like Imbo and Hondo returns and stuff like that. But it's like one of those things that you know these people are going to rise up against the pirates and they're going to stop the thing. And it kind of takes away like, I guess the end, like you know the ending, so it takes away like the dramatic effect.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if the Jedi lost in the Bounty Hunter episode and the Hondo's men slaughtered the entire village and they failed. That's different, but it's not. It's the same story.
And yeah, and those stories are always kind of sketchy to me anyway. So yeah, I really wish there'd only be one of them.
No, the one in season 5 when they go to Onderon, and it's Steela and Lux and Ahsoka is there. I like that one a lot more because unlike this one where they were like trying to empower the Lerman to fight, Ahsoka can't do anything. She's there as a guide. They can go to her for advice, but she's like, no, you guys have to fight this yourself. She is not allowed to fight at all. All she can do is watch. And so that's a different take on it, which is nice because it's a story about how these people do it themselves without the Jedi. You know, the Jedi teaches them the basics, and then they leave. That's it. They're done. And Rex has the stupidest outfit in those episodes, and I love it. But I just wonder how many times they can actually do these episodes.
Well, we'll count this one as number one. Maybe we'll keep a count on pacifist episodes.
Lerman times two!
Yeah, on Lerman's.
So, did you have anything else for the third part?
No, you think we're ready for our final summation?
I do. Do you want to go first or me?
I'll go first.
All right.
Not a pacifist. not a pacifist show fan. This one was two in a row. It was gonna go out with a 6, but it gets a bonus point for having Takai in it. So I'm giving it a 7 as far as my score. Not a bad episode. I like this second part a lot better than the first part.
The actual fight at the end is really cool. It's a really well done fight.
Yeah.
Especially like,
and it's got,
I just love that image, that like that pause image of Ahsoka, Anakin, Ayla, Rex, and Bly, and they come out and they just pose with their weapons. If that's not the title card for this episode, I'm gonna not be friends with you anymore.
It's not the title card. Oh well, I shouldn't. I'm stupid. I was just doing a Photoshop for episode 6 today. So yeah, I guess it will be because I'll hear that when I edit this.
I even put it on Instagram, Chris. Sure. Like,
I won't mess
Disney.
It up, Hope, I swear.
But I mean, like, we didn't talk about it, but the fight was a really fun fight.
Yeah, I liked how the Lerman were hooking them like walkers, and then Ahsoka would come in and just decapitate them while they were on the ground. I like that. That once droids fall to the ground, apparently they just lay there like, oh, what do we do? They don't even try to get up.
Oh, no, we fell.
Yeah, they're like a turtle on its back. They just sort of...
But go
on.
Or
like a deactivated cat. Have you seen the video of how to deactivate a cat?
No, but I should, because I love cats.
Yeah, just after the show, just go on YouTube and search how to deactivate a cat. It does work. I've deactivated cats before. It's harmless. It's obviously the deactivation is being done in probably, it looks like, a vet's office, or maybe like a you know, where they have pets for adoption or rescue pets or something. But it's somewhere where, you know, the people are obviously pet lovers who know how to handle them. It's a great video.
So you were going to give an extra point for George Takei?
Yeah, which is a seven from a 6.
Well, for me, I really like this two-parter a lot. I think it shows a nice balance with the Jedi, how they must face, like, when they're protecting people and stuff like that. Sometimes they have to do what's right to protect the innocent opposed to what the people want. It's nice to see the Lerman step up and fight, and Rex and Bly are pretty awesome too, but George Takei is perfect in his role, and this is just a fun episode overall. But I do like the first episode better, so I gave it a 16.5 out of 20.
Which is like an 8.25, which is which is just a little more than 1 point ahead of mine. So I'm figuring you're getting that, I figure we're right about on the same place, but you've got an extra point in there because Rex. So
yeah, this is a really fun Rex episode. I did like the bromance of him and Anakin better in the first episode. So, well, as we said at the top of the episode, you can also review us on iTunes. It helps people find the show, or just give us a nice rating or just a nice shout out. And like we did at the beginning of the episode, we will read your iTunes reviews on the episode.
Good or bad. Good.
Good or bad. I actually would be really interested to see what a bad review.
Yeah, I have. I have thick skin. So if you hate us, I don't care if you hate us. Because even people that hate podcasts will keep listening.
I don't have very thick skin. So if you hate me, just be nice about hating me. Just be like, be constructive. I can take constructive criticism.
Aim all your hate at me. I'll take it all. I don't see how anybody could hate you anyway, Hope.
Well, I can take constructive criticism. I just can't take hate. Does that make sense? Like, I can't take meanness.
Yeah.
That makes me cry.
I don't think we'll get true meanness unless we hit it huge, and then, you know, when the troll gates open up, and then we'll have all sorts of mean stuff being said about us.
Yeah, probably something like, I'm a tramp.
Bum-ba-dum-ba. You're a tramp steamer.
I'm a tramp steamer. I would actually take that as a compliment. Oh, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. And we just recently we have a whole bunch of podcasts we just recently added.
Really? Like what?
Oh, God. You got...
I'm actually asking for real because I don't know.
You got your Growing Up Star Wars for Star Wars. You've got, oh my God, Earth Destruction Directive doing Godzilla movies. You've got Thor podcast. You got the Hammer Strikes with the legendary Gene Hendricks doing Thor stuff. Back to the Bins, legendary comics podcast. We've got, supposedly it's over, but he just won't stop making podcasts. But Andrew Leyland's still made, and Michael Leyland are still putting out Hey Kids Comics, which is one of our most popular podcasts of all time because they're British and people love British people.
Yeah, so, we love you, Andy.
And it has a little something to do with him being a great podcaster. Long Play, our podcast about nerds talking about rock music, just won best. Favorite podcast by Professor Alan Middleton.
Oh, I did not know that. Congratulations,
yeah,
Professor.
We made his list as favorite podcast of last year, so.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're doing pretty good, and we just added a new feed onto it's. And now that you're listening to this, it's been there for a while, but, you know, and I'm sure we'll have been plugging it in between, but the Two True Freaks Mega Feed.
Mega feed? What's that?
You go sign up for the mega feed and you get everything. Everything we put out goes onto your iPod when it comes out.
Or, that's for you hardcore freaks.
That's for the hardcore.
Like 3 episodes a day.
Yeah, there's some. I put it up as a courtesy because I knew there had to be a couple few people who wanted to do it, and apparently there's a lot more than a couple few that wanted that. It seems to be pretty popular since it's only been up for a few days, so. All right. I thought it was just going to be something that nobody would pay attention to, but apparently it's something a bunch of people wanted. So that's there. TwoTrueFreaks.com.
Yeah, and that's where people can find Chris.
Where do they find you, though?
You can find me at What the Fangirl, where I write and review various things, especially different seasons of Clone Wars. I'm actually working on reviewing season 1 of Being Human right now, the UK one. I've never seen it, so I just finished it. You can also find us both on Twitter. It's mostly me at JGS and Jedi, and you can also find me on Twitter at Pope Molinax.
Yeah, I'm not very good at the Twitters. Too few words. I don't like it. Too few letters. You have to you can't use good words sometimes. You have to I was trying to compose stuff on Twitter, and it's like, oh, I have to edit this down. I have to take words out. Oh, I have to use a shorter word. Well, I have to use something that doesn't work as well. Or doesn't sound... I don't like it.
Well, you'll be happy to know that they're talking about expanding the character limit of Twitter.
I know. I think that'll be a good thing. I mean, I don't know. As what it is, people really seem to enjoy it, and it keeps you brief, and it keeps you thinking. If you make a point, you have to say it quickly and coherently and have it sort of be thought out if it's going to make any sense. You can't just ramble. So it's interesting, but I don't know if sometimes I like having more room to say something.
Air your grievances.
Air my grievances or explain
something,
whatever I'm talking about. Do it properly.
I will say, I know how secret you like to be, and our friend who runs the Two True Freaks Twitter totally put your Twitter on there. He was just like, it's time for Hope and Chris on Jagos and Jedi, and I laughed. I'm like, ha ha ha, Chris is not secret anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been slack on maintaining security, so I only have myself to blame, so.
Well, I don't have anything else about the Lerman Uprising, do you?
No.
Well, until next time, what do Lermans sound like? What kind of sounds do lemurs make? Lemurs, not Lermans, but lemurs.
I don't know. I mean, Lermans make the same noise that, say, a Scottish guy would make.
Today the alarm has been waiting.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
That's how it works. All right.
Hi, guys. We're just going to lay down and let the separatists take us. Bye.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of Two True Freaks.
Sock it to me?